Bible tonight, turn to the book of Luke. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 16 tonight. Luke, chapter number 16. I want to read some very familiar scripture tonight and try to give you what the Lord's laid on our heart. Luke, chapter number 16. Luke, chapter number 16 tonight. When you find your place, I would ask you to stand if you're able and honor the Word of God. Very familiar scripture tonight. Luke 16. Looking in verse number 19. The Bible said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to help us. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, as we bow before you, God, as humble as we know how, we realize, God, tonight, Lord, that we need your help. And I thank you, God, for the privilege to be in the house of God. I realize if I got what I deserve tonight, I'd be in hell, my back broke. But I sure am grateful, Father, that you'll have me to be in your house tonight. Thank you, God, for those that's come out, Lord, I pray. And God, I beg you tonight, you'd touch us. I pray you'd help us. I pray, God, tonight you'd give us something fresh and new out of the Word of God. Oh, God, we need you. I know, God, that I'm nothing within myself. I know that. And God, I can't do anything without you. And God, I don't even want to try to, Lord. I pray, God, you'd hide me behind the cross tonight. Oh, God, I pray you'd feel me. I pray you'd touch me, God. Lord, this may be the last time I ever preach. Lord, I pray you'd use me, God, like a dying man to a dying people. Oh, God, tonight I pray you'd speak to hearts. And God, if there'd be one lost in our midst, I pray you'd save them. Lord, anyhow, the will of God meet the need. Lord, we need you now. Oh, God, I need your help. Father, fill us, God. Help us, help your people, and Father, we'll thank you. We'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight. God, help me on this stall. And I know this is a very familiar text tonight. And I know that a lot of times when we turn to Luke 16, two things will happen. People saved by the grace of God, a lot of times just turn it off, amen, because of familiarity and people that's saved, they all may just get scared. What's he going to preach? Or it's lost, get scared. They say, what's he going to preach on, amen? But I was thinking about this. I want to preach tonight, God, him, and you bear with me as we lay a foundation. I want to preach on the cry of the rich man, amen? The cry, the Bible said here in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. And so you'll find here that and a couple more times that the rich man cried out while he was in hell. Amen. I know it's a Wednesday night crowd, but I tell you what, it's what God the Holy Ghost told me to preach on. Amen. I was riding down the road, yes, and God began to work in my heart about Luke chapter number 16. I'll tell you, friend, I'm afraid we've got, as children of God, I'm afraid we've got cold and callous to the fact that there is a place called hell. I'm telling you something now, friend, there is real people that go to hell and spend all eternity. Amen. Hey, friend, we need to realize that when people die without God, that they don't go to purgatory, that they just don't go to the grave, but they go to a place called hell where there's weeping and wailing
gnashing of teeth. Amen. I tell you what, listen, if you study about hell, you'll find that Jesus in his earthly ministry preached on hell more than he preached on anything. Friend, you'll find he preached on hell twice as much as he preached on heaven. Amen. And so it's important tonight, this doctrine of hell. But I want you to know some things tonight. I want you to know, first of all, in verse number 24, this rich man cried out for mercy. How the Bible said in verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. So we'll see that he cried out for mercy. But you know tonight that every man, woman, boy, and girl, listen, will cry out for mercy one day, whether on this side of the grave or on the other side. Amen. I tell you what, listen, you can cry out for mercy on this side and escape judgment, escape wrath, and escape the damnation of hell. Or, friend, you can cry out on the other side where there is no escape and where there is no help. And this rich man's crying out for mercy, but mercy never came. Amen. I'm telling the Bible said he's a torment. And listen, I was talking to a man several years ago, and this is what he said to me. He said there in Luke 16, he said that hell there is just talking about a dark pit. And he said there really ain't no fire in hell. Amen. I'll tell you what, I just like to believe what the Bible said. That rich man said, the Bible said, in hell he lift up his eyes, and he said, hey, Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom, and said, send Lazarus, they may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Amen. I'll tell you what the rich man said. He said, there's fire in hell. Amen. I'll tell you what, so he cried out for mercy. How can I say tonight, friend, if you don't know the Lord, that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and you die without God, that you'll lift your eye in the devil's hell and burn for all eternity. Hey, listen and cry for mercy and cry for a way out and a way of escape. But listen, mercy will never come. Amen. So he cried out for mercy in verse 24. But really what I want to look at tonight is verse 27. He had a cry for mercy in verse 24. I want you to notice in verse 27, there's a cry for missions. Amen. There's a cry for missions. He said in verse 27, and then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. That's amazing to me. This man cried out for mercy, and he cried out for help. But when help never come, friend, he began to cry out for his family. And listen, he began to advocate for missions. He said, send them to my father's house. And he said, I've got five brethren, amen. And so we see a cry for missions. Can I say that there's a lot of people think, listen, that there's no use in sending missionaries out and trying to get the gospel out. But I'll tell you what they're doing in hell tonight, friend. They're crying out for somebody to go. They're crying out, listen, for us to send out the gospel unto all the world. A rich man, I cried out for missions. Amen. How would you know some things about this? How would you know, first of all, it was his priority. Notice this in verse 24, he cried out for himself. But in verse 27, he cried out for his family. Now in verse 24, he cried out for himself. He cried out for mercy. And then he got an answer from in Abraham, verse 25. He said, remember. But Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And so he cried out for mercy in verse 24. And Abraham pretty much told him in verse 25 and 26, he wasn't getting any mercy. He wasn't getting help. Amen. I tell you, do you know what he done? He quit crying out for mercy, started crying out for his people. And in verse 27, he said, I pray thee. And do you know, in verse 29, Abraham answered him. And he said in verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Now notice this. In verse 24, he cried out for himself. And Abraham told him no. And he quit crying out for himself, started crying out for his family. But you know what? He got the same answer in verse 20. Abraham told him no again. Amen. But you know what he did upon that request? He kept crying out. Look what the Bible said. And verse 30, And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went them from the dead, they will repent. Now, when Abraham told him there was no mercy coming and there was no relief for his torment, he dropped the issue. He didn't say anything else about it. But when he cried out for his family and Abraham said, no, there's no hope, there's no use, he didn't drop the issue. Amen. He cried out again and he said, nay, Father Abraham. And so it was a priority to him that somebody go to his family and give them the gospel. Can I say tonight, friend, that ought to be our priority, how to reach a world with the gospel. Amen. I tell you what they're doing in hell, friend. They're a begging for somebody to go and for somebody to warn them and tell them it's a priority to them. Amen. They know there's going to be no relief for their pain. Hey, listen, Abraham's done told him that. There's no relief coming, rich man. There's no help coming. And boy, he turned his attention off himself and on his family. Amen. I'll tell you what, listen, we can take some good lessons from that tonight. It'd do us well to get our attention off ourselves and get on our family or on our friends or on the world that's dying and going to hell. I'm telling you what, tonight, friend, we've lived up into a day out of where people are so selfish and it's all about myself and what's going on in myself and listen, what's happening in my life and what's all about me. But I'm telling you what, how the rich man quickly got his eyes off himself and got his eyes on the sinners and got his eyes on the souls that were dying and going to hell. I'm telling you, it was a priority to him tonight. Amen. Let me ask you something tonight. What's your priority? Amen. I'm afraid we'll make a prayer request about somebody that's lost and we may come down and pray for them one time, we'll forget about it. But the rich man there forgot about it. Amen. He prayed again. And he cried out, he wouldn't take no for an answer. Amen. I said he wouldn't take no for an answer. I tell you what, listen, hey, it was his priority. Amen. I tell you what, that'll be our priority tonight, friend. Do you realize people are dying and going to hell? That's right tonight. I said people are dying and going to hell. Listen, every man, woman, boy, and girl don't get saved by the grace of God, it's going to go to hell. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If my youngins don't get saved, and they reach the age of accountability, I will tell you what, if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. My daddy's lost tonight. If he don't get saved, he's going to go to hell, friend. I got friends tonight's lost, and if they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. And I got family members that need God, and I got friends that need God. I'm telling you what, it ought to be my priority how to get people to God and to pull them out of the fire and tell them about judgment and tell them about wrath. It was his priority tonight. How he warned, he said, please go, go. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. How many times you prayed about somebody? Two or three times and you forgot about them. You know what you did? You took no for an answer. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. It was his priority tonight. I got a brother tonight. When I got saved, God gave me a burden for my brother. God broke my heart, my brother. And we went and raised the church, and my family really didn't know anything much about God. And I got a burden for my brother. My brother was living in sin, and I'm telling you, he was wicked. Didn't care anything about God. Didn't care anything about the things of God. And I tell you what, I'd tell him about God, and he'd cuss me. I didn't want anything to do with it. I tell him how much God loved him, and he'd just look in my face and cuss me out and cuss God and run out the door. Didn't want anything to do with him. God broke my heart, my brother. I began to pray for him. I'd pray and I'd beg God to save him. I'd go to him, tell him about God. He'd cuss me out. Amen. So what'd you do, preacher? I kept going back. I wouldn't take no for an answer. Amen. I tell you, I had a priority when I got saved. I wasn't going to rest. I wasn't going to stop. I wasn't going to quit until he got in. Amen. I went on for several. I went on about 8 or 9 months. And I prayed for him, and I begged God for him, and I told him about God. He'd cuss me out. I didn't want anything to do with it. He'd cuss God. I'm telling you what, wicked. I'd sit there and drink his beer in front of me, tell me how much he hated me and hated God. Didn't want anything to do with it. Amen. I'm telling you, I made that my priority. I wasn't going to quit, amen. Because I knew Mama wasn't going to tell him about God. I knew Daddy wasn't going to tell him about God. And I knew if he was going to get saved, he would fall upon my shoulders. I'd tell him about a place called hell. And that went on for several months. And about 9 months went by, and I was having a little Christmas play at home. And at the church that we go to, or was going to at the time, I just got saved. And God didn't, I wasn't preaching. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I just knew he was going to hell. Man, when we get back to those days, I'm afraid we're too educated and how we forgot that, but when we got saved and I was concerned about people had gone to hell. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. All I knew, he's lost and he's going to hell and he needed God. Amen. And for months, I'd tell him about God and he'd cuss me out. One Friday evening, we was having a little Christmas play, and I called my mama, and she was supposed to come, and they live around Knoxville, Tennessee. And I called her up, and I called her up, and dialed her number, and my brother answered the phone. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm coming to church tonight." I said, "What'd you do, preacher?" I hung up the phone. I went there, cried out one more time, and I said, "Lord, here's your chance." I said, "God, if he don't get saved tonight," I said, "he may not get in." Went to church that night, had a little Christmas play. And the preacher got up, preached, and gave an invitation. There wasn't many people there. And I was sitting on the front row. And they gave an invitation. I got yelled on the right-hand side, my left-hand side. And I began to cry out. And I said, "Lord, I ain't leaving this spot. You saved my brother." I said, "I don't care if I'm here all night long." I said, "I ain't leaving this spot." About 20 minutes went by. And by the time I heard somebody say, "Oh God," and I looked over and I seen my brother fall right down the altar beside of me and get saved by the grace of God. I'm telling you, it'll be our priority tonight. Peoples are going to hell. Peoples are dying without God. Your families are dying without God. Your friends are dying without God. The world's are dying without God. It ought to be our priority tonight how to tell them about God and hang them out over hell and tell them about Jesus. It ought to be our priority tonight. Amen. It was his priority. See, he got his eyes off his suffering. He got his eyes off his circumstances. Amen. I'll tell you what, listen, I know that we're living hard days and we got hard times and hard circumstances. I'll tell you what, ain't nobody had any hard time what this man was in. He is a burning in fire for it. And he got his eyes off his circumstances. He got his eyes off his situation. And all he could see, all he could think about was his brethren dying and going to hell. Amen. It was his priority. But notice his plea. His priority and his plea in verse 27. And he said, "I pray thee, Father Abraham, thou wouldest send him to my father's house." See, number one, he had a plea for help. Amen. He said, "Send him. Send somebody. Send somebody." He said, "I can't go. But would you send somebody?" You know what? You may not be able to go. Hey, listen, you may have family. Sometimes it's hard to witness to your family, is it not? Sometimes it's hard to talk to. But you know what? He said, "Send somebody. Oh, send somebody their way. I can't do it, but would you send somebody to do it for me?" And he cried out for help. Amen. He cried out for help, but I want you to notice it was a plea for haste. It was a plea of haste. Look what he said in verse 30. And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one of them from the dead, they will repent." He said, "Nay." Is that word "nay"? He wasn't going to get his a cry of haste. Abraham said, "No, son." He said, "He ain't going to go." He said, "They have Moses and the prophets." He said, "They got a preacher." He said, "Let them hear the preacher." And the rich man said, "Nay." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "If somebody don't go, they're going to come to this place. If somebody don't tell them, they're on their way. And would you please send somebody?" And it was a cry of haste. I'll tell you what he knew. You see here, he was determined. He wouldn't give up. He kept crying. He was determined. I'm going to tell you why I believe he was determined tonight. It's because he knew. Listen, they were on their way there. Amen. And he knew it wasn't going to be much longer. He was going to see them there. Something didn't change. Amen. And you know what I'm saying is he knew there wasn't much time. He knew it didn't have much time for it. He knew, listen, if somebody was going to go, I don't know how old they were. I don't know, but I believe that that's why he was so earnest. He knew there wasn't much time left. He knew if somebody was going to go, he had to hurry up and go. Had to go to them before it's too late. I'm going to tell you something now, friend. There ain't much time left. Amen. I said there ain't much time left tonight. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, death is certain tonight. And death is sure. And we don't know if we've got tomorrow. I may not have, this may be the last message I ever preach. I don't know. I don't know if we've got tomorrow. I don't know, the Lord may come back before tomorrow comes. I'm telling you something tonight, friend, if we can't look around and see what's going on in our society and see the come of the Lord's at hand, hey, we got bad eye problems, amen. I'm telling you, friend, the Lord's about to come back. They ain't a doubt in my mind, friend. I'm going to tell you something. There's been a few times God sent judgment on this earth. Over our Noah's day, the Bible said the very thought and intent of man's heart was evil continually. And the Bible said the earth was filled with violence. Amen. And then in Sodom and Gomorrah, or in Egypt, down there in Egypt, God sent judgment on the land of Egypt. You know why? Because they was taking them innocent babies 2 years and under and throwing them out there in the Nile and shedding that innocent blood. And then Sodom and Gomorrah, all that Sodom and that sexual perversion was going on, and God rained fire and brimstone out of heaven and destroyed that place. And I'm telling you right now, all three of them's going on at an alarming rate. Amen. Violence filling this earth, friend. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, listen, they're slaying innocent babies. They're aborting babies right and left, shedding innocent blood right and left. And I'll tell you what, by the millions, friend, they're shedding innocent blood tonight. And then sexual perversion, sodomy, and homosexuality, friends, are running rampant in our society. Amen. That's exactly right, friend. The most popular talk show host on daytime TV is a lesbian. That's right. That's the society we're living in. And what do you say all that for? I said this, God ain't going to let this thing go on much longer, friend. They come to a point down there in Egypt where he said, I've had enough. They come to a point down there in Sodom where he said, I've had enough. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's going to come a time when God say, I've had enough. And he's going to call a church out of here. Are you listening to me? Hey, man, and I'm telling you what. Hey, this thing's about over with. He knew there wasn't much time left. I'm going to say there ain't much time now. If we're going to win our family, if we're going to win our friends, if we're going to get the gospel out, hey, we're going to have to do it. Hey, man, listen to me now, friend. If you ain't saved today and you're alone with the Lord, hey, there ain't much time. I'm telling you what, we've lived up in a day and time where people talk about hell and it's a byword and society as commercialized hell. But I'm telling you something, hell's a real place tonight. And real people's going there. And I'm telling you, we better do all we can to get them out. Because we're about to run out of time, folks. We're about to run out of time. Amen. Notice his plea, but notice the problem. What was the problem, preacher? It was too late. It was too late. It was too late. It was too late for himself. It was too late for him to be concerned about his family. It was too late. I'm going to tell you something now, friend. If we don't get concerned, and if we don't get serious, one of these days it's going to be too late. He cried and he cried. Now, that's all we got. It's that part of the story right there. But I'll tell you what I believe today. I believe he's still crying out. I believe he's still crying out. But you know what? It's too late. Amen. That rich man cried out for mercy in hell, but he cried out for missions. He cried out for somebody to take the gospel to his family. Amen. And I said all that to say this tonight, friend. You and I better get concerned. There's a world dying and going to hell. They ain't a doubt. How many got people you know that's lost? That's going to hell. Have you made it your priority? Have you done everything you can do? Have you prayed over them enough? Have you wept over them enough? Have you told them enough? Have you warned them enough? Have you made it your priority tonight? We better get serious. Because listen, one of these days it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray. that God would break our hearts tonight. Oh, that God would just rip our hearts out. Help us to see the need tonight. You know, really, ain't much else matters tonight. Ain't much else matters. We better get serious tonight. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your love and mercy tonight. Speak to every heart. Meet every need. God, I pray. Oh, God, break our hearts tonight, God. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.